Welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, Inside Lacrosse analyst, and my old friend, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Dixie, it all comes down to this. This is the big weekend. Champion will be crowned on Monday. So let's get it. Dixie, this is the culmination of the entire season. It's coming this weekend in Philadelphia. You will be there. I need to add to your intro that you're also the voice of Westwood One Radio.
Correct. Be me and Dave Ryan. And then we've added Evan Washburn to our team this year. He'll be doing sideline for us. So excited to Evan. Folks know that he played at Delaware, was on that 2007 national semifinal team for the Blue Hens, and then obviously has had an outstanding broadcasting career, currently a sideline reporter for CBS for the NFL.
It's a good get. This is the Super Bowl sideline reporter. We'll be joining your team this weekend. It's a good get.
I'm excited for it. I will say, and I shouldn't feel this way, but with Virginia, Notre Dame, Duke, they made it. Everyone thought they would. Three best year. Is there a sense on your part that since these guys have played each other twice already each, like, you know, I don't know, does it take any excitement away for you, or does it make you want to see them again? And I shouldn't feel this way because the 2021 national semifinals were Duke, Maryland, Virginia, Carolina. The Carolina game, great game. That way at all?
It's a good question. It does take away a little bit from it. I know that these teams have grown since they last played in the regular season. Like, I kind of discount Duke lost at Notre Dame a month and a half ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. Seems like it was a while ago. So if they were potentially to meet in the championship game, I think it could be very different. The fact that, you know, Duke beat Virginia twice, I still think that is just the most uncanny streak that they have going there. And again, they haven't met in a national championship game. This is if Duke could get by Penn State. Right. We'll get to. Yeah, no, it's always compelling, and it's a weekend where they play one day and then they have a day of rest and then they play again. So I'm going to be watching the games regardless. It doesn't take anything away from it, I don't think, in that regard. And really, I mean, these are the best team from the Big Ten all season long, really. And then the three teams that have been the best from the ACC, and really one of those have pretty much been in the number one ranked team all season long. So right. I think the best teams in the country are meeting for the Final Four, and it's anybody's game. And we'll talk about these in a little bit.
Yeah, I asked the question primarily because that's what people are giving me the feedback of that. Some people are really excited for this, you know, 75% ACC, and other people are just kind of like, we've seen that already. But from where I'm sitting, Virginia is the only team to beat Notre Dame this year. So the Irish, can they reverse course? And obviously Duke was going to be a favorite in this game regardless, but with Penn State potentially and probably being without Jack Posey, their best defender, who went down with an injury against Army last week. Everybody's kind of already got Duke penciled into that national championship game, which could be dangerous. You know, I don't think the Blue Devils are thinking that way. So anyway, I was just asking the question. I'll tell you one thing I'm incredibly excited for. It's in Philadelphia. I would be happy with it being anywhere but Hartford again. 2021, we didn't get the 2020 season finished. We didn't get a 2020 tournament. So 2021, new venue, great to be there. Good teams, crummy weather, but, you know, there was still a level of excitement. Last year, that was gone, man. Like, that was gone. Getting out of the car and just being like, ugh, Hartford, damn, like, this stinks. No, not, the people were very, very nice. The tournament was, well, actually, you know, it was like box lunches all day long, that long weather delay. Anyhow. It's glad that it's back in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philly's a great site for it in terms of a weekend event, you know, where the stadium is located. It's easy to get to. And but you can also great tailgating scene there, and then you can go into Center City for incredible restaurants, hotels, lots to do. And it's, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's the birthplace of America is
That's
right
true.
there. So it's a great location for tourists and lacrosse fans alike. So let's get to it. You have some thoughts on last week's games? The quarterfinals were great. The Army Penn State game was particularly the highlight for me. Not only Army's comeback, but how it ended with the video replay and a shot that was a split second, maybe not even a full second too late. Wild finish. Great game.
Yeah, so you're starting with Sunday, which is I thought it was beautiful weather. Navy, such a great venue. Again, a lot of people want that championship weekend at the Naval Academy. Not going to happen when they hold their announcement, and that's never going to change, I don't think. But I think it was two good games, and yeah, Penn State Army game. Army art. Penn State able to gather themselves, got a lead. The Black Knights just did not go away. We mentioned the injury to Posey. Very unfortunate. He's had such a great season. But the resiliency of Penn State to keep it together after losing Posey. And Alex Ross, a freshman, has been really, really strong all year. And you had Sam Sweeney bump down to close and fill the void left by Posey. And then, yeah, it was great to see the video replay come into vogue, come into effect. And Brian Abbott, like, you know, and there was no drop. Like, he saw it. He had the headsets on, stood up. No goal. You know, he didn't wait to get to the middle of the field. He's like, no goal. We're done. So, and then the second game, you know, Notre Dame, Hopkins had an interesting game against Pat Cavanaugh. Really almost shut him off, but didn't shut him off, but extended to him, played very aggressive, kept him out of the mix, wise, but plays and just able to show that they've got more than just Pat Cavanaugh. Didn't do great at the faceoff dot, but still you know, able to finish off a pesky Hopkins team. You know, so Army ends the season. Yeah, I feel great if you're the Black Knights. I think Joe Alberici is a candidate for National Coach of the Year. I do think that goes to Jeff Tambroni in the national semifinals. And only winning three games a year ago. And Johns Hopkins has a lot to be proud of. You know, I thought Peter Milliman could be a contender for Coach of the Year. You know, I really do think it's between Alberici and Milliman, but I think it goes to because of how far Penn State has gone. They've gone at least one round farther, if not to the national championship game. But Hopkins lacrosse, a great season. When you looked at the Blue Jays schedule back in January, February, thinking, okay, maybe 4 or 5 based on and you know, for them to take the number two seed in the Big Ten to you know, regular season and your number two in the Big Ten tournament to get a home game rather the NCAA playoff to gave Notre Dame a very strong fight. You know, I think it's safe to say Hopkins is back on course and hopefully they can build off of 2023.
Yeah, I had good points about Hopkins. I had more than one, multiple Maryland fans who gave me I wish Army would have played like this against us last week when in the first round, which I thought
Oh,
was funny.
shut up. Shut up.
Thought
God.
it was funny. I said, well, you know, because the way they struggled in the first half seemed like just, you know,
Yeah, they did.
gone. But they got it together and they came back in the second half. It was just funny. It was like.
Hey, how about this?
I
Maybe
think
Penn State.
three different Maryland fans told me that. Like
How
they.
about this? Maybe Penn State at this stage of the season is just better than Maryland. How about that?
It's funny. I just thought I had to share that.
Yeah.
And then what about Saturday's games?
So, yeah, so Georgetown, dip and tuck. Close all the way, and Virginia was able to close the Hoyas out. And then Duke, Michigan, kind of the same. I'll take that back. I think Georgetown had an opportunity throughout the game. Virginia just made more plays in the end. The Duke game was more of, yeah, just, you know, Michigan just didn't have an answer for Brendan O'Neill, you know, and until that was going to happen, you were just kind of like, okay, Duke win this game. Good games. Won by teams, the favorite, and still an entertaining game of lacrosse. The crowd wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, but there was also some suspect weather at Albany. But still, you know, look, we're here. Virginia, Duke, and when you look at Georgetown, a team that started, what, 0-3, 0-4, won 13 straight games, really got it together. Kevin Warren has a really good thing going in D.C. And the Michigan Wolverines, what else can you say about that team? Go Blue, monumental season, best program history that, again, is only 12 years old at Division I level, number four seed in the Big Ten tournament, win the Big Ten championship, get a game at Cornell on the road, win that game, minus Ryan Cohen, their third leading scorer. And then they, Albany, and, you know, potentially the national champion in the quarterfinals, and really put up a great fight. So Kevin Connery and Michigan, a ton to be proud of in 2023.
So four teams move on to Philadelphia, and let's talk about these games on Saturday. Game one features the five seed Penn State, or 11-4 now, and they'll take on the top ranked, top seeded Duke Blue Devils, 15-2 on the season, only losses to Jacksonville and to Notre Dame. And that's the first game. It's at noon on Saturday.
Yeah, so these games are on ESPN2 television-wise, and we've got you covered on Westwood One Radio. Check for local affiliates on Terrestrial Radio, westwoodonesports.com. Maybe that's where you streamed it last year, D-Fly.
I think that's where I heard.
And then at Varsity and at TuneIn, and then Sirius XM Channel 84. And then you could also just say, Alexa, open Westwood One Sport.
Yeah.
If you have Alexa in your house.
Definitely.
So, no, look, this will be a good game, hopefully. I say hopefully because Penn State's banged up. They are. They're banged up. Duke's riding high right now. Who's going to take care of number 34 for the Blue Devils? How will Penn State compete at the face-off dot? They've been here before, 2019, when they played Yale, the Nittany Lions did at the Link, and that was a long day. I think they're going to be more competitive on Saturday against Duke. Shout out, saw a buddy of mine over the weekend, Andy Leadham, Penn State grad, played defense, listens to the podcast. He said it was, he kept calling it the Dixie Fly podcast, but I straightened him out. So yeah, there'll be a lot of Penn State fans at the Link on Saturday. And their fans have been encouraged to wear white. So a little bit of a whiteout action going. And hopefully that'll put some wind in sails. It's just.
Let's look at these games this way. So what's Penn State need to do to win this game? What needs to go right for the Nittany Lions to win this game?
They've got to win possessions. If they can't win at the faceoff dot, they're going to have to get saves from Jack Frassion. They're going to have to win the 50-50 ground ball battle. I mean, the easiest answer is to say contain Brennan O'Neill.
Yeah.
But those are some that are really going to have to accentuate. You know, Frassion in most, you know, inside lacrosse, second team All-American, Big Ten specialist of the year, he's going to have to play terrific. And then on the offensive end, he's going to have to execute at a really high level. And when TJ Malone is on, so is Penn State. So Malone's going to have a big day for the Nittany Lions, but they're also still going to have to get secondary scoring as well.
On the other side, what needs to go right for Duke to win this game?
I know it's going to sound weird, but they can't overlook Penn State. They can't. I equate this injury to Jack Posey. If you remember, I think it was 1997 or 98, Maryland destroyed, I want to say it was Loyola in a national semi. Princeton had a dogfight, Syracuse, and won that game, but they lost Christian Cook, their best defender, to a torn ACL. Now, obviously, if Posey doesn't go this weekend, a week to prepare, whereas Princeton had, what, 36 hours. And then Princeton turned around and destroyed Maryland. A lot of people thought that Maryland was going to walk away with that national championship because without Cook, but, you know, Princeton, as we knew then, and we know even more now, they were a true team. Penn State's just going to have to come together as a team in that way. But to that end, Duke can't be looking at Monday, saying we're going to the national championship game. They got to take care of a really tough, talented Penn State team. And I know that Blue Devils are not going to overlook Penn State. So that's the first thing. Secondly, they're going to have to stop TJ Malone. They're find a way to get good sh on Frazier and him, not let him get hot. Because when you look at the four goalies that are in this thing, Liam Entman's going to be buttoned up. I mean, he is the best goalie in Division One. But Frazier's the kind of guy that if he gets hot, he can be really, really difficult to score on. So I think those are some of the things that you got to look at between Duke and Penn State.
Let's do the same thing for the second game of the day. I want to get your general comments, and then we'll look at what each team needs to do to win this one. So, second game, number three seeded Notre Dame. They're 12-2. They'll play number two seeded Virginia. What are you expecting from this game?
So you think about Notre Dame, and one thing I didn't mention about Duke, and another reason why they'll be looking past Penn State is they have more appreciation here in 2023 after being left out of the party in 2022. You could say the same thing for Notre Dame. Kevin Corrigan will tell you that we don't really think about 2022. No, they do. They do. And he referenced it. I think that was his first comment in the post-game press conference at Navy this past weekend, referencing last year's team. So that's going to be in the back of their minds. The other thing that's in the back of my mind is Virginia's not the only team that's beaten them twice this year. The only team that's beaten them, period. So how do we figure out a way to knock off the Cavaliers? And then Virginia, of course, they've just got so many different ways to score. Now Connor Schellenberger, 10 points last weekend. What was he? 6 goals, 4 assists. He looks like he's finally fully or is close to fully healthy year long. So this is going to be, I mean, this is Tuareg finalists against Tuareg finalists. Pat Cavanaugh for the Irish, and then Connor Schellenberger for Virginia.
So Notre Dame has fallen to Virginia twice earlier this season, once by 4 goals, once by 5 goals. What needs to change for the Irish? What needs to go well for the Irish to have a different outcome this time?
So you looked at these two games, and in the first contest, Notre Dame fell behind 5-1 in the first quarter. 1-1 in the debate loss, the most recent loss in Charlottesville. But in both games, Virginia won the third quarter. They scored 6 goals in the third quarter in South Bend. They scored 5 goals the third quarter in Charlottesville. So looking at this, just statistically, you know how I feel about stats sometimes. Stats can be for losers, but they got to win the third quarter. If that game is tight, they can't fall behind 5-1. But if it's a tight game like it was in Charlottesville, you got to come out, you got to be ready for that third quarter. When you look at turnovers, 18 for Virginia, 12 for Notre Dame in the last meeting in Charlottesville. And then when we were in South Bend, Virginia had 17, Notre Dame had 16. So the turnovers are not the worst, in the team, in particular Notre Dame. But what a big difference has been is Matt Nunes, the goalie for Virginia, has played his perhaps his two best games. He did play his best game of the season in the 12-8 victory against Notre Dame, 19 saves. And then in Arlotta, he had 14 saves. So trying to get to Matt Nunes, we've seen Nunes struggle this season. It can pump a few in early. Maybe take away his confidence on this big stage, because this will be his first, both of them, Entman and Nunes, all four goalies actually, right? First time they've been playing in the big stadium.
Yeah.
If they can get to him early, that could bode really well.
And then on the other side, what needs to go well for Virginia to get the win and move on to Monday's championship game?
Yeah, don't let Entman, be dominant. Don't let him be the first team All-American. That he is. And just do what you've done the last couple of games, like play the mental edge. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of chirping, the mental edge. I think for both teams, like take away the superstars. Notre Dame take away Schellenberger, Virginia take away Kavanaugh, Pat Kavanaugh, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, I think that's going to be really important. Schellenberger had 7 points in the 15-10 win back in, you know, few, you know, a little while further back than the 12-8 game, a goal and three assists. So, you know, if you're Notre Dame, you got to limit Schellenberger.
Two great games, noon and 2:30 on Saturday, for a chance for the national championship to live out your lacrosse dreams on Monday. Be sure to tune in either on Westwood One or watching the games on ESPN2. All right, Dix, it's time for this week's Give and Go. Last week, a lot of comments on the movie bracket, and we're going to do our final four for that, and I'm going to have you pick the ultimate winner. But then I want to talk about movie soundtracks a little bit, the music behind some of these great films. All of these are sort of on that list. You know, I went through and I looked at a few various lists. You know, websites have, you know, top 100 soundtracks, top 50 soundtracks of all time for movies. And each of these, I don't know if Die Hard, but Goodfellas, Shawshank, and The Godfather certainly made those lists. So here's your task: setting up the semifinals was Die Hard versus The Godfather on one side of the bracket, and on the other side is Goodfellas versus Shawshank. We'll start with that one. You have to pick best movie here: Goodfellas versus Shawshank Redemption.
It's really hard. You know, these are four great movies, but this one's easier than the other side. I'll go Goodfellas.
Okay, I would take
Goodfellas.
Shawshank in that one. That's my favorite,
Really?
but you're taking Goodfellas. Again, this is tough choices, but
Yeah.
Shawshank is just mine. And then in the other side of the bracket, we have Die Hard versus The Godfather. You got to make a decision here. Die Hard versus The Godfather.
This is really hard. Because The Godfather just has so many layers and is such an incredible movie. But Die Hard, I mean, I remember seeing that in high school. So Godfather came out the year I was born, 1972. Die Hard was what, like 1988? And that was like right in the middle of testosterone, hormones, all that kind of thing. I mean, look at the cast of Godfather, legendary. Marlon Brando, Al Pacino. Robert De Niro wasn't until the second one, right?
He was in a young
Yeah,
Vito
he was in the
Corleone
second one.
in the second
But
one.
Robert Duvall, Talia Shire, James Caan, Bish from Barney Miller. I can go on and
Yeah, it's a great
but let's talk about the cast of Die Hard.
cast.
I didn't watch Family Matters, but
Yeah.
top. Reginald Vell Johnson. We talked about character actors last week.
Yeah.
How about Paul Gleason,
Which guy?
Dwayne T. Robinson,
Oh yeah, he's so good.
the police for the LAPD?
Every decision he makes is like the wrong one. You know, it's like shoot the lights out. No, he puts the lights spotlights on him, and they just shoot the lights out, and it's great. Yeah,
He
he's
was in, he plays the greatest jerk. He was in Breakfast Club. He was the principal
awesome. Oh, he's great in that.
or assistant principal. And then he was a jerk coach.
Take the bull by the horns, whatever.
Yeah. Can you please describe the ruckus, sir? And Alan Rickman as Hans Gruber.
Yeah,
Most,
awesome.
I mean, maybe many of Professor Snape from Harry Potter, but I mean, Rickman's a stud.
Yeah.
And then the ballet dancer
Who?
was one of the terrorists. Alexander, he's here as a ballet dancer. Yeah, the
Really?
big blonde haired dude.
Okay. I did.
So, and then you know, obviously you got Bruce Willis. So I'm gonna go Die Hard.
Oh, okay. Okay,
I'll go
that
Die
seems like an upset. Okay, now you got to pick the eventual champion. You got in your pool, Goodfellas versus Die Hard.
Hard. Who do you pick between Die Hard and Godfather?
I picked the Godfather, so I would have the
Okay.
opposite. I would have
So you have the opposite final.
Shawshank
Yeah.
versus Godfather.
Die Hard versus Goodfellas. Hard again. I mean, Die Hard 2 was awesome with I mean, you talk about Blast of the Past. You know, the father from Good
Oh,
John
Johnny was,
Amos was
yeah,
the leader of one.
greatest.
I gotta go Goodfellas. Gotta go Goodfellas.
Okay, see, and in my pool, I would pick The Godfather. So we end up with like the sort of
Very
mob.
similar genre.
Yeah, mob movies. Okay, that's cool. All right, movie soundtracks. All right, so take a minute here. I'm looking at this is on the Ringer site. I'm just going to name a few, and you tell me if you agree or not. And Goodfellas is on this list in the top 10. Song, Layla, when Layla kicks in, is so good. When Henry Hill is running around like trying to with the helicopters chasing him and everything, and they just have a frantic cuts between Harry Nilsson, Mick Jagger, The Who, and George
Yeah.
Harrison.
Okay, now I recall. Yeah, sure.
That's like an awesome scene. Great one of the that's in all the top tens, Pulp Fiction.
I didn't like Pulp Fiction as a movie,
Yeah.
and therefore I don't remember Pulp
Wow.
pretentious.
What didn't you like about Pulp Fiction?
I think the fact that everybody liked it because it was quote unquote cool. So I'm like, no, this is stupid.
That's a great soundtrack, though. I like that movie. There are some weird scenes in it for sure, but Jungle Boogie, and it's like a great scene.
Yeah, the Urge Overkill was it? Girl, you'll be a woman
Yeah,
someday. I remember that.
just the use of like Chuck Berry song. It's good. And one of the th movies that makes every soundtrack list that I've seen, and number one on the Ringer's list, is Purple Rain.
Purple Rain's a great soundtrack. Let's Go
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That song. And then Purple Rain, if you're in the mood, comes on. The end of that's haunting. Now, especially that he's gone.
Yeah. Were you a Prince guy?
I like Prince, yeah, I do.
I once had a debate with some people about like who was a more talented person, Michael Jackson or Prince.
I mean, obviously, amazingly talented, but didn't Prince play like upwards of 30 instruments?
Yeah, he was as musicians go, I guess the where it fell is of my friends who are musicians, they were like Prince, hands down, easy. And then poor people who are more like entertainment type of fans were like, well, Michael Jackson could dance
Right.
like he and he was like a trendsetter and he was a great singer and he also played some instruments like it was very different people, obviously, but
Right.
that
I mean, he
was
had Eddie Van Halen do the guitar solo and beat it.
he did
So
would have played it
now
himself.
that like splitting hairs, like who's better? Also, who was more weird? Prince or Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson was a weird, weird dude, man.
Prince was too, though. Like Prince, I mean, you listen to Howard Stern. I guess
Yeah.
Howard went to a show and a not a show, but it was like an impromptu performance in a I want to even say it was like a hotel room or something, and Prince wouldn't turn the lights on. Then he would perform with his back to the audience. But that was a Jim Morrison thing.
Yeah.
Prince just did it because he was angry or something. And then like he had a party and he kicked everybody out because he didn't like the way people were looking at him. So Prince was a midget too. Prince was only like tiny.
My favorite Prince story is Carlos Boozer, the basketball player. He played for the Lakers for a little bit and owned a house, and then he got traded and was playing somewhere else. And he had a really nice like mansion, I guess, in LA somewhere. And Prince was coming out to record an album for like a month, and he rented Carlos Boozer's house when he was making the album. Carlos was in LA for something. And he swings by his house to and just to say hi to Prince. And Prince had painted this whole house purple. The entire house. Didn't tell him anything. He made all these like renovations and painted the whole thing. Carlos is like, this is my house, man.
Well,
You gotta at least clear it with me before you do something like
hoops and then Prince made pancakes.
that.
You remember
Blouse.
the
Game blouses.
Chappelle
I just love that story. Like, I mean, he painted somebody else's house, and he was only there for like a month. That was the other thing. Oh man,
I know growing up, The Big Chill. Remember that movie, The Big Chill? That was a
yes,
popular soundtrack.
yeah.
Top Gun.
Top Gun is on a lot of these lists. Another movie that's on a couple more is Grease,
Oh,
Saturday
Grease is a good
Night Fever,
soundtrack. Yeah, sure. Saturday Night
Saturday.
Fever is excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be in a Bee Gees mood, obviously, but even like, you know, If I Can't Have You, that's a great song.
And the
More
Bees.
Than Man is like a underrated just melody, and yeah, I like that.
Dazed and Confused. All
I
the
don't remember
songs.
that
Songs of the
movie, but I
Seven.
remember the that was the one where the guys go around trying to paddle the freshmen, right? At the last day of school.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got some good tunes in there. And then Superfly. This is on like everybody's top 10. Curtis
Really?
Mayfield, Superfly. And the only song I remember from this one is, you know the song Pusher Man? I'm your pusher. It's like Ice-T samples it in like one of his rap songs. I have to go back and
No,
listen to
I don't
more of it, but
remember that.
it's critically acclaimed in every one of these lists is Superfly.
Speaking of Ice-T, Colors, the movie Colors soundtrack is
Oh yeah.
incredible.
Yes.
Colors. Big Daddy Kane was on that. So Ice-T sang Colors. Big Daddy Kane sang Raw. Here I Am, RAW.
W.
And then Full Kim was on that one. And then New Jack City is another incredible soundtrack. Ice-T was also involved in that. He also starred in the movie. John Hughes movies like Hank, 16 Candles, sometimes
Pretty
that.
in Pink makes some of these lists.
Yeah, that's a good. I look, look, Psychedelic Furs, man, is one of my favorite like bands that I like but never really listened to or got into. But Psychedelic Furs song, come on, I typically crank up the radio.
Yeah, so I love good movie soundtrack. It certainly adds to the memory of the film and always enhances it.
So you mentioned, is there like a top 10 list given by the Ringer?
There is. I'll give you
Okay, read them off.
the full top
You do
10.
KCK, so I'll go from 10 to 1.
Right. Number 10.
Coming in at number 10.
Number 10 is Saturday Night Fever.
Okay.
All right. Number 9, Dazed and Confused. Talked about that. Number 8, Almost Famous.
Huh, that was a pretty good. That was a, I think I watched that like once. It was okay.
Yeah, it's like brought back Elton John's Tiny Dancer. Like there's a famous scene in
Out
that
on the
movie.
bus, that was a good scene.
Yeah,
That's a great song.
brings that one back. Number 7, The Bodyguard. Whitney
That that's that
Houston.
rendition by Whitney Houston was pretty special.
Yeah, that's a Dolly Parton song. Do you know
Yeah, no.
that? Yeah. Number 6, Above the Rim. Had Tupac in it.
Tupac, right?
Yeah.
Tupac had Wood Harris was in that. He's a talk about an awesome actor. Wood Avon Barksdale from The Wire.
Number 5 is Superfly. Number 4 is Goodfellas. Number 3 on the Ringer top 50 best movie soundtracks was Pulp Fiction. Number 2, The Lion King.
I was Elton John and Tiny Dancer. I was going to say Lion King, man.
Yeah, Lion King. And
Yeah.
Hakuna
Yeah.
Matata. Yeah, it's all right. It's good for kids' movies. And number 1 is Purple Rain. Number one
I
of
mean,
all
yeah,
time.
okay. That's pretty good. No Colors. I'm disappointed Colors isn't on there.
I don't remember seeing
I had that in a cassette tape, man. I wore that thing out.
that. Kids, look, Google cassette tape.
Yeah, right.
That seems like a good place to stop. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast, leave a review. Tell a friend, share the love, pass this on to somebody. It's free, and we appreciate it. Thank you to all of our fans. We always say we're going to do another one of these after the championship game. We'll see. But thanks for listening all season. It's been a big year of growth for the D Fly and Dixie podcast, and we appreciate all of you. And as always, enjoy the games.
Alexander Gudinov.
Ballet dancer.
Yeah.